You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and I got a question for you. So what do the baseball player Jackie Robinson, the great science fiction humor book Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and I think he knows where I'm going with this, today's guest all have in common? Well, the answer lies in the number 42. And perhaps to help explain the mystery behind that number, why don't we welcome today's guest, Paul Gowder, who's joining me from South Carolina to unveil the mystery behind that number. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Great. How are you? Thanks so much for having me.
Indeed. So I saw you smile when I got to the second one, right?
The first one had me thrown for a minute, but second one was easy. I got that one.
So the number 42, it's displayed prominently on your website. And I don't know if that number is actually still accurate or not, but I imagine it's going to change at some point in the not too distant future.
It was the number at a specific point. It was the number my daughter wanted to hit before she graduated high school.
Okay.
She just finished her freshman year of college. So yes, we have gone well past 40.
So you and I know what that number that she wanted to hit actually means, but why don't you explain that to the audience?
Sure. We'd like to travel as a family. We love Disney, as you can see that from the shirt. And so one of our things that our goals that my daughter had is that she wanted to visit Disney World 42 times before she graduated, or 40 times really before she graduated high school. And so we hit 42. And what I like to tell people about that number and why that was important for us is I built my business as a side business, as something I did, you know, at nights and weekends and on my lunch breaks and stuff like that. And at some point when it did start becoming more work and more of something we had to dedicate time and resources to, we had, as a family, we kind of had to decide, you know, why are we doing this? Especially in the early days when we weren't making much money, you know, what are we trying to get out of this? And for us, we prioritized travel and building experiences as a family. And one of those was Disney World.
I love that. And I love that you figured out a way to prioritize those things. These days you're doing a couple things. You're probably doing a lot more than a couple things, but we're going to just focus on two. You've been running this online business we're going to be talking about for 2.5 decades now. Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
You also have been using all of the knowledge that you've developed over that time to help other businesses implement some of the things that you've figured out how to implement for that business. And prominently on your website, you talk about the fact that you have been to Disney 42 times. And I love the fact that you then tie that into the idea of how the work that you do as a guide, a consultant, helping a business with revenue growth through certain marketing activities, how that connects to having the life that you want. Because so very few marketers invest the time to talk about what the business is as a vehicle for giving the owner the life that they're after.
Right. And for me and for our family, there were days early on and still, you know, this week where, you know, you're challenged. You don't want to do it. You're not focused and you got to push through. And knowing your why is what can continue to drive you. And that's where you have to go back. And without that why, sometimes some of these days are really, really tough.
Yeah. Let's use that why to talk about business number one, because I don't know the story behind the website, powwows.com. You have a Native American heritage, and part of your story is the travel from one to another of these powwows, these events that have been celebrated, you know, all across the country. And you've developed a platform an entire business out of that. So why don't you sort of walk us through that story?
Sure. So I started powwows.com not as a business. I'd never intended for this to be a business. This was back, I was in grad school in, you know, at the University of South Carolina. And I started playing around with this whole HTML thing and building websites. It was just, you know, I was always into computers, always, you know, computer games and doing things on, you know, my old Apple IIe and stuff like that. So as a kid. And so I was tinkering with this whole web page thing, and I built I built a lot of little web pages, but I kind of built two websites. And one was about Star Wars toy collecting, which you can still see the Mandalorian back there. And so I built it all about vintage Star Wars toys from the 80s. And also at the time, I just kind of digging into my family heritage, finding that my family was a descendant from Cherokee tribe in Georgia, finding out more about that. I found some friends that took me around to powwows and started teaching me, helping me make my outfits and teaching me how to dance. And as I was learning that out, it was just a way that as I learned and kind of explored this new world that I was finding, I just wrote about it and put it on these web pages. Well, fast forward a few weeks, and really it was just a few weeks, the powwow side really started taking off and people started coming to the website, and then they started asking questions and they wanted to engage with each other. They wanted to engage with me, and it just took off from there. And, you know, we added a community aspect to it. The old days of forums and vBulletin and that kind of stuff, if you were around back then, we did that. And that was really, and has always been the kind of the cornerstone of what we do, is having that community and letting people have that sense of belonging, sharing that, whether they were Native American or not, you know, having that shared idea of learning more about the Native American culture through powwows and all kinds of other events we were doing. And from there, just continue to grow.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You had these two different projects, and one took off and one could have, right? But
yes.
But I think it's very telling that you had one which was probably a very broad topic in terms of the range of people who would have some interest in it. And then you had one that was very specifically tied to information, outcome, and you said community that you built on the site, but it's actually around community in real life too. And so right. what I think you likely tapped into unknowingly at the time, but I know that you've discovered it since, is people will want to connect in person, have an experience together, and want to continue to connect to that experience, anticipate the next one in a virtual way that the internet allows us to. And you were right there at the right time with a very smartly purchased domain name to be able to leverage that and help people expand that experience that they had in real life.
Right. And powwows are, I encourage everybody to go to one. There's one near you if you're in the United States or Canada. They're all over the country. You can go to our website and find one close to you. You need to go to it. And it is, they're like festivals in these small towns. Here in the South, we have a festival for everything. And it's like that, you know, where it's this community that gets together, and whether you're participating as a dancer or singer, or whether you're just there as a spectator, there's a sense of, you know, being a part of something bigger. And there are moments in the powwow where you kind of feel that togetherness. And as you leave that event, yeah, people wanted to share that experience. And also people were, you know, just learning this whole internet thing. And so people wanted to share, whether it was, if they were a bead worker, they had questions, they wanted to talk to other bead workers, or, you know, those kind of things. If they were singers, they wanted to share their songs and teach each other things. And all of that was so new. It was a fun time, you know, in those early days. It was so much fun of finding this new technology and finding new ways for us to connect. That was a really cool part of it.
I love that. So I went onto the website when you first scheduled our conversation together, and poked around. And one of the things that I noticed as I was searching the events that were near me, I'm in the Northwest part of the US, and right. And I love the fact that you have both Native American and First Nation stuff listed out there. Yes. So I start going through the process of searching, finding events, and lo and behold, what happens at some point during my journey, but I'm offered the opportunity to get a powwow calendar book. How yes. do I get it? All I have to do is enter my name and email address. That wasn't part of the original plan, right? But at some point, these forums that you had turned into something very different. Why don't you talk us through sort of how this all came about and how you started to decide to build a list and a broader audience?
So the first probably decade of powwows.com, it was all of our content was focused around that whole V-Bulletin, building that community. We had a calendar of powwows. That was, you know, one of the early things we did too. But it was really the community aspect, and it was focused heavily on that. Well, as social media started to come in, the amount of people that were going to V-Bulletin started to decrease. And I remember getting emails from, you know, some of my moderators and some of the people that had been on the forums for years saying, man, Paul, this was so much fun. We really loved it. But I don't think I'm coming back because we're over on Facebook now. And so that was a hard transition. That was when we really had to figure out, again, you know, why are we doing this? Do we want to continue doing this? And we transitioned and we became a content site more than just a community focused or user generated site. And we started, you know, we had writers, we started generating content. And that's where we started focusing more on using social media as our community instead of the V-Bulletin, and then using the website to let that community go and learn more, explore more about the culture, and kind of being the guide to that. For me, in seeing that transition and kind of losing that V-Bulletin control and not having, you know, that in not only the content, but the people's information, not being able to control that when we went to social media, that always did not sit right with me. So from the early day, you know, when we made that transition, one of the first things we did is I'm starting to learn kind of how to do this differently from that V-Bulletin forum world is email. And because email allowed me to continue to at least own some of my customer information and not be dependent on the algorithms and the whims of social media, and email, it continues to be a huge part of what we do. And I tell people too, is now I don't have the V, but we still have the V-Bulletin, but not many people go there anymore. We have Facebook groups and all that for that aspect of the chatting with each other. But for me, one of the hearts of powwows.com is our email list. And that is where I get to, you know, I use that as my conversation with our community now, because that's where I'm able to, when I send out a message and I want to talk to everybody, I know that they're going to see it, right? At least it's going to be delivered to their inbox, whether they read it or not is up to them. As opposed to sometimes I feel like on social media, I'm just shouting into the cavern and we don't know who's going to hear that echo. So yeah, email is so important. I use that as a community tool now. And I still treat that email as part of our community. And I talk to people in that way through the email.
So here in 2023, there were recently two books that came out, and I was just furiously trying to Google both of them. I remember one is by Mark Schaefer, and I can't remember the other one, although I'll find it in just a moment because I have the ebook copy of it on my phone here. Both of which are about the importance of community. And it's The Business of Belonging by David Spinks is the other one. And this concept of community being at the core of businesses these days, right? As we've been trained as a society through social media and participation in interaction through email.
Right.
It's a huge part of the opportunity that many businesses have access to, but not necessarily something that businesses take advantage of. And so you've watched this transition. You've participated in a transition from the forum to the email list to, you know, participating in managing social media based groups. And now you're taking a lot of what you've learned and you're working with other businesses to try to help understand how they can leverage these things as well. And so I want to get deeper into some of the lessons that you've learned, and perhaps you can talk a little bit about lessons learned and how you're helping apply that to other businesses these days.
And I'll tell you, as you're talking about that, and businesses have all these tools available, and that's one of the things I see a lot of people failing with, is they start a Facebook group because you're supposed to have a Facebook group. So they start one. You're supposed to have an email list so that people have those. Having those and using them effectively for your building your community in that sense of belonging are two different things. So let's talk about email. In my email, I do things like I ask questions. And it's a conversation that I have an email I send out every week, and it's kind of, here's the articles we wrote this week, and you should go read them. And here they are listed down below. But the beginning of that email is a conversation that I'm having with the reader, and I'm telling them, sometimes I'll tell them what I did this week, about maybe our recent trip to Disney World or a cruise we just went on or something like that, or the powwow I just went to, whatever, I'll talk a little bit about that. And then, I'll tell them a couple of things that are going on powwows.com. But that is the way I view email, as that community tool. I'm talking directly to people. And I see, and I made the same mistake too when I first started doing email, is thinking that email was just a transactional thing and just a way to send people something that you wanted them to click on. It was a big transition for me. This is maybe 4 years ago, where I went from, and I kind of, the way I describe it, I used to have the Best Buy sales paper ads or newsletters. And so when you got my newsletter, it was this highly formatted, high graphic quality. They looked beautiful. And that's kind of looked like a Sunday sales paper, right? And I transitioned to that to more text-based, and then having conversation in the email instead of just blasting stuff at you. And from there, not only have my numbers grown, back when I was doing the blasting in your face, I had 20 or 30,000 subscribers. Now I'm up over 100,000, and having 30 and 40% open rates on my email sends, it's a totally different way of looking at stuff. And you have to do that with all these tools we have. You can't just throw things out there and expect them to work. You have to, in everything you do, you have to think community. And how do you engage your community? How do you create that sense of belonging? How do you make that person feel like they're part of the bigger group?
I want to take a diversion to a different place for just a moment, because you brought up an interesting point, and it reminded me. So years ago, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I was at a digital marketing conference, and I was chatting with a guy who at the time was with one of the, sort of mid-level email marketing platforms. I don't remember if it was, it wasn't MailChimp or Constant Contact. It was like Emma or one of those.
Right.
And we were chatting before, and then he got up on stage and he did his presentation, and the presentation was all about design and structure and look of the emails. But what he had learned from me, what we had talked about, was I at that time was doing 100% text, and he thought that was the silliest thing in the world because it wasn't engaging. And I said to him, I do it because of deliverability, that right. It's getting into the inbox with more of my very few subscribers. And of course, he was dealing with, hundreds of thousands or millions of subscribers with the types of things that he was talking about. But there's a lot of nuance to all of these topics. And sure. And I wanted to bring that to the forefront for a moment, because in addition to just the storytelling aspect of it, people aren't going to necessarily even see the story if the email doesn't get to the right place.
Right. Right. And that's another part of, if you treat this as a community tool and you're engaging, that deliverability is going to go up because people are actually opening and clicking and interacting with it. And that's the other part too, is I see a lot of people make this mistake too, is if you send an email and you get people that respond and write back to you, you have to answer them. You can't just let that sit. And that's hard for me. I get a lot of them, and sometimes I'm not as good with it too, but you've got to respond to them. It is a community, it's a conversation, and they're writing you looking for you to engage. And so you can't just throw them out there and not ever follow up with them too.
I have a quick story about that, because two of my clients have come out of my email list. I have an email list that speaks about sort of general business and ideas, and I don't actually sell very much to that list. I don't have anything to sell to that list because right. I'm in a completely different business. But I have a lot of marketers on my email list because they're listening to my anecdotes about marketing. And one story I was telling was, I took a family trip. You're not the only one who travels, Paul, to London And I was talking about some of the ads that I saw on the tube and why I thought some were effective and some were not based on the context of where they appeared. Well, I got that email off and I came home from a trip and I got a response from this guy in the UK who was like, oh, I've been on your list for 3 years. I'm so sorry I missed you, but I when you came to London, but I'm so excited that you wrote about this. Could we have a call? Would you be willing? And that turned into a great relationship. And now I'm working with him. Right. So you never know where these things lead. Yesterday, my email that I sent out this week, somebody responded with, a couple of questions, and I tell stories in a similar fashion to you, right, with a bottom line, with a point at the end of the email, guiding the. And I think you'll agree that stories probably help that point resonate a lot more than if you were to just deliver it in facts anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I keep pulling away from the storyline that you were going on, but you've started to help businesses at this point embrace some of these ideas. And while most of them, I'm going to guess, are not sitting on 100,000 people on their lists, there's still going to be a huge impact, even if they have a list of several hundred or several thousands of people.
Right.
Talk a little bit about some of the types of things that you've encountered as you've started working with others.
So I'm part of a group that we kind of work together. And I offered them, this group, just some free consulting because I wanted to kind of refine my ideas about email marketing. And so I said, hey, I want to offer you guys, I'll look at your website, I'll look at your email, and I'll give you my recommendations and then let me know if they work. And what was one of the things that was surprising to me is as I'm like 5 or 8 people into this, they all have email lists. They all felt like they were not growing. And as we look at their website, sometimes it's simple things. You don't have to go to the far end of the spectrum and make this complicated. It was as simple as these first 5 or 8 people didn't have an email subscribe box on their front page. Nowhere. And on an article page that they had spent hours writing this content, nowhere on that page did they ask for email. And so I said to them, how are you growing your list? And she said, someone would say, sometimes on my podcast, I'll give people a link to go subscribe. Okay, well, that will work sometimes. But what about that person that found you on Google? Or what about the person who came to your front page? You're not even asking. You're not even starting the conversation. So, sometimes it's easy as that. We're missing these small steps. And that's the kind of thing I want to, that I'm trying to help business owners. Let's look at it. If your email list is not growing, let's go and figure out what it is. Same thing too. I worked with these same people on some of their email sequences, which that's one of the things I love doing is creating sequences for different parts of your business. And most of them didn't have it. And if they did have it, it was just not very effective. And so we kind of talked through those ideas too.
Can you take a moment and sort of talk about what you mean by sequences for folks who may not know the concept?
Yeah. So sequence is just a series of emails that are delivered over a specific time. And for me, what I tell people is you should have a few different sequences. And here are the first ones I recommend. One, you should have just a basic, your onboarding, your welcome sequence. And those are when you meet somebody at a conference, what are the first 3 or 4 things you tell people about your business? Well, that's your first email sequence. Break up each of those points into an email, conversationally talking like you would at the conference, and make that an email so that when somebody gets on your list, those are the first 4 or 5 emails they're going to get. And then they know who you are. They know what you do. And they, for me, like I do that with my people who are coming into my ecosystem for the first time, is, hey, here's what Powells.com is all about. Here are the things we offer. Here's what we do. And then we go through a series of emails kind of telling you that. That's the first one I love, I recommend, and I really think it works great. Then too, if you have different segments, different parts of your business, for example, my wife is a travel agent, which is one of the reasons we travel a lot.
Now I understand. Okay.
Yes. And again, that was a let's go ahead and go into the travel agent business to help afford our travel. But so if you think about travel agents, you know, you have people that like cruises, you have people that like maybe all inclusives, you have people that like going to Disney World. Well, each time you talk to a client about Disney World, there's 10 things you've got to tell those people. Well, that's an email sequence, right? If you're going to tell every client that you sell Disney World to the same 10 things, then build an email sequence. And that way everybody gets the same information consistently. Another one, and here's one of my things I love telling people, my little secret sauce. This drives more traffic and does better on my email advertising than any other newsletter I send. And that is, I have a Throwback Thursday email. And all that is I go and actually hired a VA to write most of this. And then I put my personal touch on top of it. And it is every Thursday, we go back into our archives and say, hey, look, here's an article that you may have missed because we have so many articles. You might not have seen this. Here's an interesting one. Here's why you might like to read it. And here's the link to it. That thing drives so much traffic and it's so simple. If you have more than 10 or 15 blog posts, you need to go ahead and write a sequence to help people get to that back content, because otherwise these new people you're onboarding into your email list might not ever see it.
Embedded in there, and you kind of glossed over this, but I want to pull this back out.
Sure.
You used the phrase email advertising.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about this concept, because it sounds like you know, folks are thinking about the concept of ads. I went to the site and I see, you know, ads down at the bottom and on the side, but you're talking about the concept of using an email as an ad to the subscribers to get them to see something and take action on it.
Yes. And so for powwows.com, our main source of revenue is advertising the banners, but you know, the banners on our website. So our end goal in our email is to get people from the email back to the website. So while I tell people, you know, community is a big part of email, the end result is I want people to click on a link and go to the website. So when we put things in the in our email lists, whether it's that Throwback Thursday or a broadcast we're sending out, the end result, we want people to click on that. So we're writing these emails thinking about, hey, like the Throwback Thursday, here's an article, like for this week, here's an article that happened. The Supreme Court just made a ruling that impacted tribal sovereignty. Mm-hmm. You want to go read that because it's really important for your tribe and for, you know, what's going on in Indian country right now. You want to go read that. Click here to get the full story. Try not to be, of course, clickbaity or whatever. Again, this is a conversational kind of thing, but that's the end result. I'm using email as kind of an ad for the website, because that's, for us, that's the end goal. We've got to get those views on our banners.
I wanted to bring that to the forefront for a moment, because it's not a common concept for most people to think about that email drives traffic, right? Yes. The idea is, okay, I got to drive traffic to get people on the email list, but I don't necessarily think about the email list as, or the emails that I'm sending as driving traffic somewhere. And I think the frame that you put around that can help any business understand the opportunity that they have with email, and that investment, even if it's a financial investment of getting people onto the list in the first place, can pay off hugely if you plan all of this out correctly.
Yeah. And you shared on some of my social media before, you know, how when I go in, I use Mediavine as our main advertiser, and there's Thursdays or Fridays, you know, when we're looking at yesterday's statistics, you'll see these big jumps in our ad revenue, and it's because of that email. It is directly correlating, and you can see the results of good emails because it does drive so much traffic. And same thing as if we're having a special event, like we live stream powwows about 10 or 15 times a year. So when we do those, we use our email to make sure that everybody goes and watches our live stream. And you can see when we send out an email, you can see the surge in viewers on the live stream. And that's one of the ways we make sure our community knows what's going on. It is definitely a way to drive traffic. Yeah. And again, we also use it for driving traffic to, you know, things we're selling, or, you know, our merch and that kind of stuff too. You know, that's a secondary thing, but it does work. And that's the number one way we sell our merch is through email.
And obviously the way that you're describing it fits beautifully in your business model, and there's permutations or variations on the theme for
right.
almost any business model out there. So don't get locked into, you know, just the way that you use it.
Exactly.
Or is my advice to our listeners at the very least. We're nearly at the end, and I want to make sure that you have a chance to talk a little bit about sort of where the work that you're doing with other businesses has headed after that sort of the trial run that you were describing.
Sure.
and what the services are that you're offering others at this point.
Sure. Thanks. And you go back what you said, I'm saying I use email to drive traffic. And that's what, when I'm working with email clients, is what is your end result? Is your end result to sell a coaching consult? Is your end result to get somebody to join your mastermind group or whatever it is? Okay. If that's the end result, then we still have to do these basic things I was talking about. We have to treat email as a conversation. We have to build the community feeling in the email. Once you do those things, then you can worry about what your end goal is. And that, from those consultations I've done, and I've spoken at a few conferences, that's what I'm really enjoying. And that's kind of what I like to do. So some of the things I'm offering now as a business coach is helping people, whether it's build up your email list. If you're at the very beginning, I've got kind of something I package up called the Email Jumpstart, where I'll help you, you know, build your offers, your opt-in boxes on your website, as well as setting up your first few sequences. Or if you're an established business and you have a list, but you just don't feel like it's going anywhere, you know, I kind of got a coaching program where I can help you walk through that. And we'll go through and we'll kind of figure out why your list isn't functioning the way you would hope it to. And we'll see if we can get that to level up a little bit.
And where can folks head to if they want to take advantage of or learn more about any of these things?
Yeah, please check me out, paulgatter.com. I have all of those on there. And of course, too, I just want to remind people, hey, if you're looking to find out more about Native American culture, please go check us out over at powwows.com. There is a powwow near you, and I would love it if you go experience Native culture in person. You won't regret it.
I have been to a few powwows in my time, both in the nice. Northeast and Northwest parts of the country. And I did not grow up in that heritage, and I'm so happy that I got a chance to be exposed to it. So I'm thrilled to have discovered your site, and I've found a couple of things happening the summer here in Oregon. So I'm interested in exploring a little bit more. Very hey, Paul cool. Gowder, this has been a fun and insightful conversation. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I'm incredibly envious of those 42 and growing number of visits to Disney. And thank you for sharing your story.
I appreciate you having me on. I hope I can help other people if you need help. And we'll be back at Disney World next week.
Oh, beautiful. Well, we won't be able to use that Jackie Robinson and Douglas Adams reference again then. Folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to the conversation you just heard, and I'm pretty sure you do, please send them our way. In the meantime, my name is David Baer. We'll see you back here on another episode real soon. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.